he feels that, for example, on our discussion list, that we put too much emphasis on anatta, no Han, no Sarah, no computer, no clock. He feels it's too strong, too much emphasis, because now we're beginners, so we can't really appreciate about anatta, so why do we talk so much about it?
Because it's the truth, the absolute truth.
Absolute truth.
Mm-hmm. That's what Buddha had enlightened, to know what is the absolute truth.
What I am...
Nobody can control.
What I was writing to them is this. In the seven stages of purification, this purification of view is a third stage. First is tila, morality, seta, and then the... So, for a beginner who has not yet mastered the first stage, not yet mastered the second stage, how can one expect spasin?
Even the first stage must be panya, which knows. No one else. Only panya. Because the first stage is sila visuddhi, right?
Yes.
How can sila become visuddhi, pure?
Without panya.
It's impossible without panya. So all these seven lead to enlightenment. The seven stages.
In the visuddhi mega, they give an example, simile, that the first two is like the root of the tree. And the remaining five is a trunk.
Yeah.
So what I was telling them, mm-hmm. how can you have a trunk but without the root?
Yeah. Now it's root or trunk, this moment. This moment is root or trunk. Now.
This moment.
This moment is root or trunk.
Difficult to say. Or the stage, which stage we are in.
Without the understanding of realities as they are, it's impossible to say that it's even root to be a trunk.
Without understanding, even the root is difficult.
Because one has to not just thinking about everything is anatta, but there must be panya which can directly understand reality right now, whether it's someone, something, or non-self, no thing in it at all.
So can these stages, one stage, two stages, can they each other support?
By satipatthana only.
By satipatthana.
Only. Without panya, satipatthana cannot arise at all.
Now, when you say satipatthana, just now, what do you mean?
One has to know what is sati. If one doesn't know sati, one just keep on talking, dreaming about sati, but it's not sati at all. Is sati real? Or is it just concept?
How can it be a concept, sati?
When we use the term sati, without understanding the reality of sati, that is just
it's
concept.
Yeah. So when you have the sati, the real sati, that is the time you have the satipatthana.
And no one has it. There are conditions for its arising, like condition for hearing, condition for seeing, condition for thinking, so they can arise.
So for sati also,
anything which arises must have conditions for
conditions.
Its arising.
So what could be the conditions be?
Right, understanding.
Understanding.
I mean sila visuddhi, citta visuddhi, panya visuddhi, all seven visuddhi must be visuddhi when there is panya only.
So sorry, when?
When there is no panya, there cannot be any visuddhi.
You get the panya, what do you do to get the panya?
No one can do anything. There are citta, cetasika, and rupa only. Citta cannot be self. Each cetasika cannot be anyone.
Yes. So how do you develop panya then?
Understanding with awareness. We have to understand reality theoretically, intellectually, from this moment, so it can condition right awareness, not by our will at all.
So understanding of the reality and the right awareness must be there to have the clear.
Can anyone understand anything while one is fast asleep?
No.
So when there is seeing, it's time or moment for sati to develop right understanding of whatever appears.
For seeing, for hearing, from there you can...
Any doorway, but not at moment of pavanga.
No, pavanga. Mm-hmm.
So now it's not pavanga. And reality right now can be understood by developing sati and panya as it's not self. Without intellectual understanding, it's impossible to have right awareness to arise. What can condition right awareness without understanding about realities right now?
Don, you said you need intellectual understanding to start.
Yes, very important.
First thing.
What Han said to me earlier about, with regard to atta and atta, was that if, for example, someone speaks harshly to him, then he appreciates, or his way of coping is by appreciating that it's anatta, there's no Han. But when he meditates or counts his beat, then it's Han, then it's atta at that moment. So he feels he's on the fence. Sometimes he follows the anatta way, sometimes he follows the atta way.
But what reality is he? What reality is you? What? Seeing, hearing, arising and falling away, thinking, arising and falling away, even panya arises and falls away. So where's you? Know you at all?
Yeah, I know that.
No, you understand intellectually.
Yes,
but it's not direct understanding of a reality right now, each at a time, each one at a time. Only one.
You know, when I'm sitting down to meditate.
What about now? Because it's not time for meditate yet. What about now? Can there be the development of understanding reality right now? Because one cannot deny that there are realities appearing.
No, for example, breathing.
Are you breathing now?
Yes, we are breathing, but I cannot concentrate when we are talking. But for the breathing, I cannot concentrate.
So it's not right understanding, it's not awareness.
Yeah, please let me finish. So when I sit down, I don't see that what I'm doing is right. I can be wrong. When I sit down and meditate, or when I sit down or recollect the Buddha's attributes, that time, I cannot help thinking that I, Han Thong, is doing. I cannot help thinking that way. But in other times, for example, if someone abuses me, then I'll say, okay, that same abuse, there is no Han Thong. So my thinking is like a dual sort of thing. Sometimes I have a Han Thong, sometimes I do have no Han Thong, like that. When I am practicing the meditation or something, I cannot help thinking that it is me who is doing. I know their own sita, I know that. But I cannot help thinking that it is me who is doing. But at other times, like for example, another person abuses me, then I can, okay, there is no answer. That's a dual sort of thing.
What about this time?
This time, I'm talking. I'm talking to you. I am talking to you.
Always, I I am sitting, yes. I'm meditating, I'm thinking, I'm seeing.
Yes, I cannot help it.
Yeah, no one can help it. Because that is wrong understanding, taking reality for I, like I am seeing, I am hearing, I am thinking. Always I. I am sitting.
Yes.
I'm meditating.
Yes.
So
that's
always
I. That I cannot help.
No one can help. No one can help.
So at that moment, there is no anatta.
No,
at that moment.
No, not at all.
Even in that sitting down for meditating, this anatta and atta are mixed together, coming one moment anatta, one moment atta. For
same,
example,
same like that.
No, one moment when I concentrate on breathing, the air, vayo dhatu, touching one rupa, touching another rupa, there is no hantam. There is no hantam, yes. Huh? At the same time, hantam meditating comes in. It's a sort of a mixture. One moment, another comes in, another moment, other comes in, like that. That's
that can happen now?
Yeah, maybe.
Who doesn't have that idea?
Who doesn't have? I don't know.
Of self?
Advanced stages.
Only a Sotapanna does not have wrong.
Yeah.
Only a Sotapanna does not have wrong.
So what Han was saying here in this message was only at the purification of views at the higher stage of insight does it talk about no beings or whatever. So now it's so common, so he feels that that's why we put too much emphasis on anatta, because it's only at a higher stage of insight where it's going to be really apparent.
Is at the first stage, can anyone come to that stage, the highest stage? Without the first stage, can anyone reach the highest stage?
No.
And what and when is the first stage? That it will...
Yes, you just said the sila and vinaya.
Now? I mean now.
Now.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because life is just in a moment, just one moment of citta, arising and falling away all the time.
Okay, now I'm hearing.
So, hearing is no one. Not self.
Okay.
It's a reality, or we can say that it's a kind of tattoo element.
Tattoo element, okay.
So don't take that element for I, because it's conditioned to arise, to hear, and then completely
so
gone.
I who is hearing?
No.
It's tattoo.
Right. Okay. All tattoo. Is thinking tattoo too? Thinking.
Thinking?
Is it tattoo too?
Thinking also tattoo.
Yes, everything. That is the meaning of non-self. No self at all. This is the beginning, the first stage, intellectual understanding.
We had some discussions about the Pugala Panyati, the book of the Abhidharma Pitaka. And Han's question is, why in this Abhidharma text do we read about people and persons if the Abhidharma is all about dhatus and khandhas? And doesn't it seem contradictory to be reading about people and persons when there is no people or person? And we mentioned there are different kinds of discourse, and he said, well, then perhaps it shouldn't be in the Abhidharma Pitaka. And he gave an example, the text in the Pugala Panyati, about four types of teachers, which seem to be about specific persons, and he finds this difficult to reconcile with the teaching on anatta.
All tattoos not different from one another, from each other. All tattoos, are they not different? Or are they different?
All datums are different.
Are different. That's why that is the Pugala Panyati, for the difference of the accumulation of tattoo from moment to moment. The animal also sees, right? Human being sees, deva sees, snakes also sees, fish sees. If we talk in terms of absolute reality, seeing is just seeing, no matter whenever it arises and where does it arise. But when we talk about human being, because it's the result of kusala. So the kusala conditions the rebirth of a human being or deva, but akusala conditions the akusala birth, animal, hell, and so forth. That's why we have to have word to classify different dhadus by being different beings in different planes.
It is not complicated like that. For example, in that Pugala Pinyati, for example, Buddha said there are four types of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
One teacher teaches a lot.
Because of the difference.
That one teaches a lot and not according to the text. One teacher teaches only a little bit, but like that, four
different
teachers.
Tattoo. Different tattoo.
Different types of persons.
Different tattoo. Because
but
we just said before that all are dhadus. Everything is dhadu.
What I'm saying is, in Sutta Tika Nikaya, D33 and 34, I forgot, they are also like that. Many types of asanas, this and that. So very similar. These two suttas from Tika Nikaya and Apokala Pinyati, very similar. So why not, why different places? Why not put it in the sutta there?
Abhidhamma is trying to make you understand dhatu as many ways as it can. So it's a reminder about accumulations. Pugala Pinyati is a reminder about different types of accumulations by describing in terms of persons. It's the best way. I mean, I can't think of a better way to point to that. It's a way that you and I can understand it.
There's lots of Abhidhamma in the suttas. There's lots of Abhidhamma in the suttas. Khandas and dhatus, ayatanas. There's no strict division between the different regayas.
If one understands the essence of the teaching, no doubt about Citta and Abhidhamma and Vinaya at all. They are all dhammas. Without dhamma, how can there be Vinaya, Citta, and Abhidhamma?
I understand, but my point is, why they put it there in Abhidhamma, this book?
When one understands about realities, one can use any term. I can call Kun Sara and Kun Jonathan and Kun Tan because I know that there must be realities which are different by accumulation. Instead of talking about like Tattu A and Tattu B, we can use names better. Like Buddha and Mokkhalana, were they not Tattu?
Yes, Tattu.
Mm-hmm. But we call them Samma Sambuddho and Mokkhalana and Sariputta. They are all Arahata.
Then why do you say no person?
Because they're only dhatus.
What is not tattoo here?
Yes, I understand everything is tattoo. But my point is, if that is so, why is that book in Abhidhamma Pitaka? Why not the sutta?
It's the conventional truth. Without the absolute truth, that can never be conventional truth. But whenever there is conventional, Paramatta Dhamma, we have to use terms.
Why not move that book to the sutta?
I think there are two questions. One is, how come it's so much about persons, if it's all dhatus? And the other question is, okay, well, if it's just the way of describing dhatus, which is more similar to the style of the Anguttara Nikaya, why not put it in the Anguttara Nikaya? Why put it in the Abhidhamma Pitaka?
In the Buddha's time, no Tipitaka yet. He taught and taught and taught and taught. But after that, in order to be convenient for those who study, then the monks at that time had meeting and made arrangement to have the three Tipitaka instead of just the teachings here and there. I take the one and maybe one, it's easier.
So maybe he's saying, well, why would they have decided to put the Pugalapanyati in the Abhidhamma rather than in the Sutta Pitaka?
To show that there is someone when tattoos are different. It does mean that there are different people without tattoo at all, so that one will have it in Sutta. But even it's different people in Pugalapanyati, there must be tattoo to make the difference. So it's another way to talk about Abhidhamma, by way of different tattoos with names like different people, different Banyati, Pugalapanyati. If we talk about Deva, do you mean that there's no absolute reality at all? Deva.
Deva by itself is a name.
No one? No tattoo?
The word Deva by itself,
yes,
is just a name.
No tattoo?
No tattoo.
Just a name. The word, he says.
Just a name.
Just the concept.
And what about the tattoo of Deva?
Tattoo of Deva, yes, the same thing as it is.
So what we call Deva because of different tattoo from human being?
Yes. Yes, different attitude, yes. Mm-hmm. But the Deva itself is a name. The what Deva is the name.
For?
For that group of Dhatu. For that group of Dhatu. Actually, all these are all names. Even Saita is a name. Saita Sika is a name.
For
this.
For absolute realities.
For the absolute, name of the absolute reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you come to that, all the things that you see are all names.
No tattoo or tattoo?
Why is the word itself no tattoos? Just names.
And when we talk about tattoo without name, is it possible?
Not possible, but the names itself are not reality.
So when we talk about reality, how can we do without names?
That's why, so it cannot be explained. I just wrote to you, Sarah. It cannot be explained, the reality.
So we have to use language or name for absolute realities.
When you think of that, all the names are Vohara. All the names are.
So what did Buddha teach?
The teaching, by conventional method, the teaching is.
To
understand the reality, you use the conventional method.
To help people to understand realities.
To people understand reality, you have to use the conceptual terms.
To know that everything is non-self.
Everything is?
Non-self. Anatta.
Yes. Any teaching. Any teaching, you have to use the conventional language to understand. All are Voharas. What you are telling today with this.
So the importance is to understand the word which represents realities.
Yes,
right?
Represent reality. Mm-hmm. But they are not the reality. Only represent.
Mm-hmm. But there must be realities.
There must be reality.
Okay.
But the words are representing the reality, not the reality.
Right. So deities and persons. I just use for convenience.
Convenience.
Yes. Okay, all agree. Hans' next question. He asked me if I had raised that question from the Burmese monk yesterday about Tejo conditioning Kalapas, and I said I'd already mentioned it and mentioned your answer, which was that in the 24 conditions, only that which concerns the end of samsara is included, so it's we don't need to be concerned about all the rupas out in the universe and what rupas condition other rupas, because it's not relevant to the path. And he didn't think that this was a very satisfactory answer.
Sara said that the 24 conditions are only that are relation to the path, all 24 conditions. So what I'm thinking is that the conditions are the conditions, whether this is relevant to the path or not. Like you said, dhatu is dhatu, dhamma is dhamma. So condition is condition. Whether the condition is relevant to the path or not, the condition will condition another the dhamma. That's what I'm saying. Is that the relevance to the path, is it necessary to select these 24 conditions?
Why do we have to understand conditions?
The cause and effect. To understand.
Because there are realities right now.
Yes.
For example, without rupa, this visible object as condition, can there be seeing? By knowing this, there will be less and less attachment to the idea of self. Not just thinking about what happened or how the tattoo there conditioned such and such thing, which is not experienced directly now. What's the use of just thinking about that which is not experienced now? Even here, we think that we do have the rupa from head to toe, right? Do you still have rupa from head to toe?
Head to toe?
From head to toe.
Yes, yes.
Do you still have the rupa?
Yes.
Directly experienced?
They are rising and falling. Rising and falling.
Directly experienced, or just thinking that you still have it?
I have the whole body.
That condition, the idea of self.
So, Ajahn, are you saying that if you focus or direct your attention to trying to work out the relationship between past conditions and the current moment, that you are in effect, first of all, there's a lot of thinking involved in this because it's not directly experiencing it, and you're losing the opportunity of the current, the chitta that is arising and falling now, in which there can only be one.
Because you see that it's easy to say that everything is not self. It's just thinking that there is not self, there is no self. But what about now? One has to be very truthful to one's understanding. Because what about the visible object right now? Can it be the understanding, fully understanding about that which can be seen only, just arise and falls away. See, how little we do understand reality right now. Even it's in Tipitaka, Buddha always talk about seeing and visible object. But nobody mind about that what about Panya, which has to understand that which is seen now as it is in order to let go the idea of clinging to it as something or I. See, we always pay no attention to reality which appears and move on to think about how to do and how to be, how to have, instead of understanding reality which appears very, very shortly, if one knows, so short. Because even right now, seeing is not hearing, it's not thinking. So how come all these realities without awareness and understanding about them at all? That's why if we just think more about the other things, it's I who is thinking all the time.
Please let me go back to the original question. The question was, the tesor dhatu, conditioning the rupa, by which condition, out of the 24 conditions, by which condition tesor conditioned the rupa? That was the question.
Okay, let's talk about one condition at a time so that we can understand that.
Yes.
What is the first condition?
Hate to be said.
Yeah.
I don't get the thought of my heart. I do not get the...
The rupa is not hetu. So no matter what rupa, condition what rupa, it's not by this condition. The first one is
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Rupa,
so the second one, rupa, the second condition.
I do not get all 24. Rupa, one rupa does not condition another rupa. This Mahabhuta,
no.
They arise together. Sahasata.
Mm-hmm.
They arise together. So, these all dhatu conditioning the rupa is not included in the 24 conditions.
So let's talk about one condition at a time until we have of 24. Otherwise, we just talk about condition. Let's come to consider each condition so that we can say that whether it's in this or by this condition or not by this condition. Yeah. That's why in order to say this or that, we have to come to know conditions so that we can say.
The point is I didn't forget.
So it's like jumping all the time, not from the very beginning, in order to really understand.
I do not get bad. If there's a book, I can't. If there's a book, yes. If you know it, you can tell me.
I think that I cannot tell everything.
One of the 24 or not.
Okay, let know what are the 24.
I do not get my heart.
So we cannot know what are there, whether it's by this or that condition or not.
It's Aramana condition.
Second condition.
No, we've got two now. Aramana condition.
Aramana.
Aramana. Not
second.
No, not in this case.
Okay, so not two. Number three.
Tamanandara. Tamanandara. Hetu Pisyo. So no.
No.
Aramana, no. Aramana.
It can be Aramana, but not by this way that you are talking about.
It's not
Rupa.
Okay. Adipati is here. Adipati. Adipati.
No. Rupa cannot be Adipati.
Anantara.
No.
Tamanantara. Sahasata.
Yes.
Sahasata, yes.
Same time.
Not condition one to the other, no?
No. Because when we talk about rupa, we talk about how it conditioned the other rupa.
Yes.
At the same time. So that only be sahachata pachaya, not other pachaya. So when we're talking about sahachata pachaya, we are talking about the rupa which arise together, and the citta and jetasika which runs together.
So that is the rupas within the same kalapa.
Yes, mm-hmm. But not a rupa conditioning another kalapa. They arise simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. They arise in groups.
So how many are there now?
Inya minya. Inya minya.
Anyamanya.
Same kalapa.
Same kalapa. Like Sahajata.
What's the literal translation of anyamanya?
Mutuality.
Mutuality.
Nisya, dependence, no. Nisya. Nisya. No. In this case.
Not Nisya. The 24, I think.
No. So only Sahasata.
In one kalapa.
One kalapa arising together.
In one kalapa. That is important.
Yeah.
In one kalapa. Not different kalapas. Okay, that is one point. Second point is that you told Sarah the other day that 24 conditions has all relevance to the path.
And present too, like the same moment.
No, path. Not path.
Oh, I see, path. Yeah.
End of
the mega. Is that so?
I think that it's the panya which know all the conditions according to one's accumulation. At this moment of seeing, no need to say or to think that seeing can arise when there is rupa as the object. No need, because panya learned to know that what is seen is not being or thing at all, and that which sees is not self. This is the point of studying or understanding, because you see that even the first vipassana jnana is not paccaya parikaha jnana. It's just the nama rupa prichetayana. So if there is no understanding of the distinction between nama and rupa, no way to understand conditions.
Yes, that is a good point. Because the conditions are only between nama and the rupa. So if you do not understand nama and rupa, you do not understand the conditions.
Without nama and rupa, there is no conditions.
Yes, there is no condition.
I have a slightly follow-up question. You mentioned that even aharapachya, for example, only concerns the rupas that are conditioned by nutriment in the body, not the nutriment in the books or the rocks out there, for example. Can we not say about tejo in the same way, temperature in the same way, about it conditioning the kalapas of the body, and if so, by what condition?
Because the body, the rupa in the body, also is conditioned by tattoo itself.
Yes. By
tattoo.
Yes. So,
for example, like ahara, but it's not called ahara.
Right.
Because the ahara pachya are four.
Yes. So, for example, the rupas in the body, when they are conditioned by ahara, okay, it's included in ahara pachya. But what about the rupas in the body which are conditioned by tejo? Are they included in ahara pachya?
Another meaning of ahara is samudaya.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So the ones conditioned by tejo.
If you'd like to use that term anytime, no one can deny. But it depends on what we're talking about.
Okay, so to be very...
Samudaya?
Samudaya.
What's that mean? What's the translation?
Dukkha.
Yes.
Dukkha samudaya.
Right.
Origination.
Origination.
Yeah.
So, because ahara also means samudaya, so in this sense we can say it includes tejo. So
anything which is samudaya, if you'd like to use, like anything, you can use tattu, dosa tattu, moha tattu, attached lova tattu, anything, rupa tattu. You can use the term tattoo for everything, like you would like to use ahara for anything.
Right.
Yeah. As samudaya.
That is interesting. Ahara and samudaya.
Right. So in this sense, ahara is a very broad condition.
Like samudaya.
Like samudaya. Mm-hmm. So the kalapas in the body that are, we say, are conditioned by tejo are actually included here under samudaya.
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah. Too much to think about? It's not the understanding of the reality and try to cling to know about this and that as condition and as relative or not. But actually, I think that it doesn't bring any understanding. It brings only more attachment to the one's own interest. That's all.
But if we get a question from an elderly Burmese monk and we just say not relevant, then...
It's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to develop understanding.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Whatever appears.
But sometimes if someone asks something like this, if one responds, then they can...
No need to say anything, as that person cannot understand reality at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
The responsibility is to help one to have more interest, to develop understanding, not to go away from this moment. If we understand this, what samudaya means and what ahara means, then that's enough. You can apply it to anything.
So we never thought of relating ahara to samudaya. Now
right.
With that question, we are led to
exactly to understand more.
When you read more, when you read more, you see much more.
But in fact, many people responded to this, including Nina, but none of us knew about the connection of samudaya. So if we don't even though we read all the texts and pull out all the Abhidhamma, we still don't know.
How many dhamma which are pala? See, number only. But if we know that hiri is pala, otapa is pala, and ahirika is also pala, And anatta is also by the nature, no doubt. But the more we read, we can understand the 5, the 7, up to 36. See, who mentioned that? No need to mention. But when there is more understanding, when you come to see what is there in Tipitaka, you can see the meaning. Just read it, Patisampitamaka. Yeah. Otherwise, we go away again, not understanding the 5 pala and the 7 pala. See?
Before. Pala or pala?
Bala.
Powers. Powers. That's okay.
We use the same power in Thai as Pali for Buddha. Right. So it Rogan must be Bala or what?
Yeah,
Bala.
B-H.
B-A-L-A. And the Thai cannot understand that because they don't know how to pronounce Pali correctly. But when they use the Buddhist term, they use like they used to do, like Pala.
Right.
And it does mean Bala.
Right, okay.
Perfections.
Okay.
Been having discussions about the perfections of Parami and recently about Upekkha. And just this morning, because of the difficulties in Myanmar, we were talking about limits of Upekkha or difficulties sometimes. Is there anything you can say about
reality? Or situation, or events?
Well, this is about the Bodhisattva, isn't it? Bodhisattva has 10 perfections, developing 10 perfections for 4 eons and 100,000 worlds, and he has been through 23 Buddhas on the way after Dipankara. Why didn't he become at least Sotapanna? With all these efforts, with all this hardship, with all these endurances, all this long time, and he met all 23 Buddhas, why can't he become even Sotapanna?
Is Buddha different from Sotapanna?
Buddha different.
Why? What's the difference between them?
The difference is the qualities.
Of Panya.
Yes.
If he didn't develop such parami, could he become a Buddha?
No. I mean to say, after so long period of time, after so much hardship, so much endurance, can he not become a Sotapanna at least? Because other people can become a Sotapanna much easier.
When did Sariputta become Sotapanna? When did Sariputta become Sotapanna?
When he had this one verse, one sentence from the Atasi.
In this life.
In this life.
After long, long development of Parami.
Same thing with Sariputta. Same thing.
Yeah.
Those who have endured a long time, why couldn't they become Sotapanna earlier?
As Sotapanna and Sariputta, whose Panya was stronger or keener?
When one becomes a Sotapanna, it must be the same.
So no Sariputta, no ordinary Savaka?
That is after becoming Arhata. But before that Sotapanna stage, must be the same with any other Sotapanna.
So what's the difference between Sotapanna and Sariputta and Mokkhalana when they attained Sotapannaship?
Must be the same. Sotapanna is Sotapanna.
Did they have the same object?
See?
Did they have the same object before became enlightened?
I do not know this, whether they have the same object. That question I do not know. But what I think is that Sotapanna must be the same, all Sotapannas.
So then why not all Arahant the same, for that matter?
All Arahant the same, yes. If it is different, I do not know. I think
so Buddha the same as other Arahant?
No, Buddha is not the same. Buddha is more than Arahant. How it won't be now?
So arahats also are different from one another.
my original question is, why can't Bodhisattva become at least Sotapanna during this long period of 4 eons and 100,000 wars? If he had become a Sotapanna, my understanding is Sotapanna means he becomes only seven times the Sotapanna is finished. They break together like that.
I don't know the process.
No, if you would drive the car, if you turn on the accelerator and the brake together like that, you try your perfections at most. At the same time, you try not to become a Sotapanna.
Would you like to climb up the small hill or the highest mountain?
High mountain.
Highest mountain. Yes. You'd like to...
No, I don't.
So I don't, you can climb to the top of a hill.
When people say something like, well, he could have if he'd wanted to, it sounds a bit like some kind of control or something, but
it depends.
Actually it just depends on the resolution.
And accumulation too. Mm-hmm. How many people would you like to help? Each one, please.
Myself.
How many people would you like to help to understand the teachings? See, we have...
In one's thinking, you may think you want to help everybody, mankind, mm-hmm. or whatever, but in actual practice of one's own accumulated behavior, it's clearly not such a vast number.
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. As much as possible.
That's right.
Not just as much as I'd like to. So the question is whether you'd like to become Sammasambuddha or just Savaka. If you have such great parami, then you'd like to have more like Buddha himself.
So, the same subject, different question. Is Bodhisattva a Sotapanna? Another question. The same topic, but a new question. Was the Bodhisattva a Sotapanna? Was he a Sotapanna?
In a past life?
In a past life. Before the last life. All the lives before the last life.
Was he
a Sotapanna?
What do we mean by Bodhisattva?
Bodhisattva is the one who is going to be a Buddha.
Only Buddha?
Yes.
Not Savaka Bodhisattva?
Savaka Bodhisattva.
Or Patika Bodhisattva? Or Sammasambuddha Bodhisattva?
Tamatamoto Bodhisattva.
So, when one doesn't want to be as great as Sammasambuddha Bodhisattva, one can be just Savaka
Bodhisattva.
Once one is a Sotapanna, one will be Arahata Savaka Bodhisattva.
No. The question is, was he a Sotapanna at any point on the way? Was he a Sotapanna?
Never.
Today, I want a confirmation.
Today I responded to Sri Boon. He wrote to Alex about and to agree with Alex about the possibility that there's no such thing as the Bodhisattva vow, and also saying that what Alex said about the Buddha Bodhisattva might have been a Sakadagami. He said he read somewhere one of the suttas that he was a Sotapanna. So I asked, so when the Buddha, the Bodhisattva, practiced all the things after he saw the divine messengers and he went out to practice all wrong practices, means that he became a Puttajana? Again? How could he be engaged in wrong practices if he had right view?
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. So he was never a Sotapanna.
I don't really understand that, but I'm not sure how relevant it is to.
Oh, it's just a discussion we're having in the list. So.
But it certainly answers your question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Once one is a Sotapanna, can one become a Putuchana? As a being a Sotapanna?
Become a what?
Putuchana, worldly.
Lay person.
Lay person.
No.
Mm-hmm. That's why from Sotapanna there must be the development until one attain different degrees higher.
Yes. But the Bodhisattva was never a Sotapanna.
So what is meant by Bodhisattva? For Buddha himself, or for Pajeka, or for Savaka?
I'm sorry, I don't know the distinction.
Bodhisattva is the person who become enlightened.
Yes.
To be Buddha, or Pajeka, or Savaka.
Uh-huh.
Different qualities.
This is one of these things that's, I'm finding a lot of, how did I describe it earlier?
Once
a lot of words
become enlightened, one has to go on higher.
Yes. Just another point of Hans, because there's not much time and he's not going to be here this afternoon. This is also with regard to the perfection and fewness of wishes and material possessions. We know that, you know, what we have to look after and take care of. So many people feel they prefer not to have anything, not to own anything, so as not to have to look after anything. But of course, we still take care of the body and these needs and, as we know, attachment.
I think this is no controversial.
No, but nothing controversial. No. Sometimes it's almost like we set some rules or ideas where it's really the attachment. It's a mental state regardless of how we live or how we act or where we go.
As we are as conditioned moment of seeing, because you can not get anything for yourself because visible object is for seeing only. Sound is for hearing only. Each what you call possession, you think that they belong to you, but actually it's for just experience. From moment to moment, that's all. You cannot get anything for yourself because there's no self.
So however much you think you have got for yourself, it's
only two
impossible.
Eyes, no matter you are so rich. Two ears, not more than that.
And in this sense, we can say that whether one's rich or poor or hungry or starving, it's still
thinking.
Just, it's just thinking. It's just still only moments of seeing or hearing. Still one never can get any possession for oneself.
In other words, we can have the idea of renunciation with attachment.
Renunciation with attachment?
You may think that you want to live without certain things, and you'll be better off without certain things.
I would say I will need some basic, what we call basic minimum needs.
Right.
BMN, basic minimum needs. That you need. That you cannot avoid. But more than that, if you have more, then you have more trouble.
Not necessarily. That's the point.
To protect and to guard your possessions.
Not necessarily. I mean, that's up to your own understanding.
Not my own understanding. It's in the sutta. Mahanigana sutta.
But I think it's a reference to having the attachment, not to the possession. I think you're just missing the point. If you think that if out of fear of attachment you try not to have things, you're not targeting attachment.
Yeah,
you know?
Correct. Your point is correct. I was not thinking that point. I was thinking only protection of the possessions. If you have more possessions, you have to protect more.
Yeah, but the connection is if you have attachment.
Connection with the attachment, that point I miss. But you said good. You can still have a big attachment with a small amount of possession.
Right.
Or you can have a large amount of possessions and not care
about them. Be very, very unattached, yeah, mm-hmm. actually.
Like some of the kings in the Buddhist time, yes. like Asoka. Okay, what do you think about this comment of Hans also? Observing sila by an understanding of the real harm of not observing sila is best. Yes. But observing sila being conditioned by attachment to self or fear is better than not observing sila at all.
In Burma, some people believe, some people do not believe, that is the Buddha sasana, you know sasana. Buddha sasana will last for 5,000 years. It's not in the scriptures. You cannot find that. But there's a belief in Burma. Some people believe that, some people do not believe that. 5,000 years. And at the midpoint, 2,500 years, it will start to decline. Mm-hmm. And then the Sekha. Sekha is the chief of devas. He will come in at that point to protect the Buddha Sasana. But he will be less merciful. He will punish straight away in this very life. If you do bad, you get the bad results in this very life. Those who believe that, they are afraid. So they observe more sila. So I don't like that. And then Sarah said, is it not better if one observes sila with the understanding, not because of fear, not because of punishment, but because of understanding, then observe sila is better, Sarah said. I wrote back, never mind. Even with fear, if they observe sila, it is better than not observe sila at all. That's the point. Have you heard about the Sekha Sasana? The Sekha, the chief of the devas, will protect the Buddha Sasana after the midpoint. When the Buddha Sasana starts to decline, then the Sekha will intervene and control, to protect the Buddha Sasana.
How can he protect?
By punishment. By punishment. Those who do bad things will
can,
get
can
the punishment.
Can we do that? Can we protect the teachings?
Sorry?
Can we all protect the teachings?
No, they say some believe, some do not believe. No, I'm saying that some believe, some do not believe. So have you ever heard of that?
Because we have to know how can anyone protect the teachings before we think that who will and who will not. When I hear that, I think who can protect and how can one protect so that we will think about Sakha will protect or would protect or is protecting now. Yeah. We don't know. But who can protect? In what way that one can protect?
I will. Where have you heard of it?
No.
Okay. That's all right.
From where? From
yes.
where?
Yeah, well,
from Tipitaka? Or?
No. Not really. It's a belief.
Just
not in the books.
I study the teachings, and I think that what in the teaching has something to follow, develop understanding. So I haven't heard about that.
Not in the books.
Because even in Thailand, people believe differently, in different
they
ways.
They have many beliefs,
yes.
too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sort of various superstitions that get
yes.
these mm-hmm. teachings.
Maybe they frighten, the elders frighten us.
No.
Even not without understanding.
No.
Better than not observing.
No thief, no robbers, no
yes.
corruption.
If they observe, then there is no...
It's like a dream. At moment of punishing, it's kusala or akusala. At moment of punishing, it's kusala or akusala.
Punishing is akusala.
So Sakha has akusala.
He is supposed to be a sotapatta.
What did you mean when you said, it's a dream, no robbers, no thieves?
As long as one hasn't become sotapanna. There must be moment of breaking precepts.
Mm-hmm. So
because
if it's just out of fear, then it's only very temporary.
Mm-hmm. And what are you afraid of most? Law or Sakha? in this life now.
Sekha, I have not seen him, so I am not afraid of Sekha. I have not seen
afraid
him.
Afraid of law, more than of law.
No,
more than Sekha.
But I have seen the police, I have seen the military, I have seen the chief.
No, look at that. The military are there and still people are breaking the pieces.
But Sekha, I have never seen him, sir.
Keeping the precepts with wrong understanding.
Different moment.
Yes, that's right. So in that sense, keeping the precepts, the moment of sila, it's kusala, but can be followed immediately by...
And what we call keeping is only intention to keep.
Yes.
Yeah, not at moment of killing or abstaining from killing.
So it's just thinking about keeping.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you want to ask about Kali Yuga?
That is another one. Maybe you are not interested. In Burma we believe four ages of the earth. Krata Yoga, Treta Yoga, Dwapara Yoga, Kali Yoga. This Kali Yoga, have you ever heard of it?
Yuga.
Yuga.
Y-U-G-A.
Y-U-G-A. Y-U-G-A. Kali Yuga.
Yoga.
Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. But I don't know when. Now?
Now.
Kali Yuga?
Yes.
And what about 10 years ago?
10 years ago also.
Kali Yuga. So from when?
From when I have read somewhere, I can't remember when, but definitely now.
It's like the decline of the sasana past midterm when it begins to decline.
So in that, when this Kali Yoga comes in, people will be observing less and less and less of this sila. People will do crimes, violence, it will be increasing. So according to this belief, we have no good future in this world. It will be going worse and worse and worse and worse. What is happening in the world? Not only Buddhists, not only Thailand and Bawa, not only that. The entire world, it will be going to become worse than better, according to this belief.
Worse and then better.
Worse.
And worse and worse.
Until the earth will be destroyed.
And then... there's another Buddha
sasana. Another world coming.
Worse and worse until the end of the sasana.
Yes. So, this is a period.
Any significance?
You will see killings and violence and crimes. And it will be on the increase.
Right. What's the significance of this?
You have to be more careful with the sila. That's what I'm trying to say. If in this period, the only... thing that we can do is to have a sila.
With understanding?
With understanding.
Mm-hmm. Where does this come from, the Kali Yoga, the midterm?
I think it's
Hindu. I think that everything changes,
yes.
Not permanent.
Anyway, it's either getting better or worse. Anyway.
Exactly, but this prediction of things on the rise and then
decline. But it's also, we read a lot about it in the Buddhist teachings too, like that sutta in the Digha Nikaya about the declines in the world systems, and it's just the same about how lifespan gets shorter and people start behaving and totally dropping all kinds of sila, and there's more and more incest and more destruction, this kind of thing, until the end of the world system.
This is the connection between the three signs, nimitta, near death, nimitta, marana, marana nimitta, kama and kati. These three, and then another kama group, asana kama, akrina kama. How is the relationship? In the near death, we have the asana
kama.
Asana kama, and before habitual karma is asina karma. So that group and the three signs, how is the connection? During the savanasita at the suti, how they come together?
There must be object of citta before death, right?
Object, yes.
Conditioned by that chanaka karma, that one which will condition the rebirth of
yes,
next life.
Mother.
That's all. Because now there is...
Because of the karma, you see one of the three signs. The three signs. Karma, gati.
Kamma nimitta, kamma, and kati nimitta.
Yes. Yeah. These three nimittas, you see one of them.
One at a,
You see one of them.
By kamma. By chanaka kamma.
Because of the chanaka kamma. Okay. I want to know that
the connection.
Connection.
And we call that chanaka kamma because it conditioned that rupa and the citta which experience by accumulation of kamma.
Yes. That happens during the savanasita. Savanasita of the last...
Five javana.
Yes.
Before
yes.
that. If it's now, it's just called kamma or kamma nimitta or kati nimitta. Because it at the moment before death, only that we call kamma nimitta, kati nimitta, or kamma aramana.
Yes.
Otherwise, we don't call kamma, kamma nimitta, and kati nimitta.
No, just only that, or, yeah. only that, yes. So I want to know
so
the connection.
So it's just like this moment.
Because in the books, it was not clearly mentioned. Collection between the asana, kamma, and that signs, three signs. Collection not mentioned in the books. Now it is clear. The that kamma condition the one of the signs.
Because even it's the kamma which one has done before can condition the aramana for five
aramana.
Moments of citta.
Yes.
And that one which conditioned the rebirth consciousness after death moment is chanaka kamma, no matter it's asana kamma or whatever it is.
And that janaka kamma is accumulated from many previous moments of karma.
Earlier we were saying how some aspects of discussion take us away from the present moment.
True that.
Could we not also say the same about things that we are strongly attached to or have strong aversion to, that they take us away from the present moment? Isn't there an argument then for avoiding things that we know will induce strong attachment or aversion?
What is object of attachment right now?
Right now? Object of attachment?
Not far away.
No, quite close.
What is it?
Probably.
Not probably. What is it?
Yeah. Well, myself.
No.
My body.
No.
Because of this consciousness limita. Yes.
Say again.
Because of
sorry.
Visible object.
See, one used to go across this all the time. That's why the more we talk about visible object, one can see how much one understands it as it is, as no thing in it, no self, no one at all. And this is the point to develop right understanding. Because even the visible object arises and falls away, but only panya can experience that. If there is still avicca and clinging, it's impossible to experience directly, the reality it is as just a reality, which can be seen. This is different between other realities that cannot be seen. So close.
If this understanding of presently arising dhammas is what we define as wisdom, how do the development of the perfections relate to this?
Panya. Without panya, all realities cannot be perfection. it does mean that only metta or only dana or only sila can be perfection.
But why would a higher level of perfection of metta, for example, result in deeper understanding of presently arising dhammas?
Are you now angry with seeing?
Am I angry with seeing? No.
Are you angry with hearing?
No.
So when panya is there, you have less anger.
I see.
And more metta.
Angry with seeing. What do you mean by that? Does
you take this rupa for Kunsara, and you might be angry with her. But are you angry with visible object?
No.
Really? This person?
Well, that person's not visible.
The concept.
See? But when you see, you take this for someone and you get angry.
Yes.
So in reality, you are angry with whatever is seen.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're angry with the person, but actually it's just a visible object and the sound that one's angry with.
Mm-hmm.
I thought John was asking the reverse. How does metta help
in
panya?
And how can panya grow without panya?
Panya cannot grow without panya, but the development of metta as a parami.
At moment of metta, there is no akusala.
Okay, but how does that relate to panya?
No avijja then, at moment of metta. No unwholesome jetasikas. So without panya, metta cannot grow at all.
That I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But how?
So when there is, the reverse is that whenever there is panya, metta grows, and so metta support panya too.
There is one point. If you have eye consciousness, or ear consciousness, or body consciousness, the moment you have a consciousness, immediately vedana follows. Is that correct? Without the gap. Once you have the consciousness, look at the something and you have eye consciousness, hearing consciousness. The moment you have one type of consciousness, that consciousness is immediately followed by vedana, feeling.
Follow or just at the same moment? In the same moment.
Same moment, maybe even better.
There is vedana arising with each moment.
Yes, if you say same moment, it will be even better than my question. I was whether it follows. Now, when you say same moment, it is even stronger point of my question. Is that immediately you have that vedana?
After one citta has passed away, it conditions the next citta. With jetasikas, immediately.
Vedana, immediately.
Vedana
not just vedana.
There's vedana arising with every citta.
Yes, that's one question. Yeah. My question is, if vedana arises with every citta, is that a fact?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I want to confirm.
But seeing is accompanied by neutral vedana. Seeing is accompanied only by neutral feeling.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
How you say that is natural feeling? On what text you support?
Abhidhamma.
What kind of feeling that you think it accompanies seeing or it
one
arises?
Of the three. Not necessarily all the time neutral.
You mean that unpleasant feeling can arise with seeing?
Yes. If the object is unpleasant. If the object is unpleasant.
Before seeing, what citta is there?
Bhavanga.
Before seeing.
Bhavanga.
After bhavanga.
Bhavanga is upika.
After bhavanga, what citta is there?
After bhavanga.
Before seeing.
The there are three, four sitas I forgot. Advanting.
Panchatuvara vachanacitta or jakutuvara vachanacitta. What kind of feeling arises with panchatuvara vachanacitta?
What kind of feeling? I don't know.
Before seeing. Indifferent feeling. Exactly the same as seeing itself.
Advanting.
Consciousness.
Advanting consciousness.
Arises with upekkha vedana, indifferent feeling.
Okay.
So.
At the moment, it becomes.
The seeing itself also has indifferent feeling. Because it's not like or dislike yet. It doesn't know what that object is. It just sees. It doesn't know.
Only when it reaches the Savana stage. Savana stage 7.
Among the five senses, only the body sense can have the unpleasant of pleasant feeling with it.
When?
Only the body consciousness can have the dukkha or sukha vedana. But the other four, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, must have only upekkha.
Before the consciousness.
With it. Seeing has upekkha vedana with it.
Are you talking about the moments of seeing or the jhana and the 17 jitas?
Moments. I'm talking about 17 moments.
Okay. 17 moments.
17 moments.
They don't all have the same feeling.
The sectas before consciousness, before eye consciousness, is upekkha.
Yes.
That is
and
true.
Then the moment of eye consciousness.
The moment of eye consciousness.
Upekkha.
That is upekkha. Yes.
Yeah. And after that, sampatthicchana upekkha. To santirana can be upekkha or pleasant according to the object. And bodhapanna is also upekkha.
Then the other two is at the javana? No.
And the then the
javana stage.
Can have indifferent or the somanasa or domanasa.
Yes. In this stage, it is already no neutral.
Can be, or not necessarily.
So in the 17 moments, you divide the first portion as a neutral, and then the other may come in at the second half. It's only for the God, for the Buddha to know the 17 moments. So. For 17 moments, only the for ordinary person straight away the corresponding Vedna will come in. On practical points, what I'm saying is, as the moment you have the consciousness, right. You are the Vedana.
I see. So you're actually telling us your experience.
Yes.
From a personal experience.
Yes.
That Vedana arises immediately upon seeing or hearing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how it seems. Yes.
That's what my statement. I'm confirming whether that is correct.
Are you asking for confirmation based on experience or based on what is in the text?
Both. The text as well as...
Okay. Well, what is in the text is one thing and what we think we experience might be another personal experience also.
It's a both.
Maybe it would be more accurate to say immediately after seeing or hearing there's attachment or aversion or ignorance usually accompanied by pleasant
after,
or unpleasant
or
neutral.
One of the three vedana. One of the three. Immediately.
Can we talk about just one citta at a time? So we can know what vedana can arise with this or that cetasika by conditions. Like seeing arises with upekkha.
And that is just patient, yes, out of the 70 moments. But it is too detailed, too micro process. Only the Buddha can know that micro process.
But we learn.
So, on practical terms, what I'm saying is, all the sitas, all the consciousness are immediately followed by one of the three vedana. Immediately.
What do you mean by immediately?
Immediately means without
many jitas in between.
Without in between. Immediately. Without in between. The moment I question arises, the vedana arises.
Together?
Together or immediately following.
You mean that each citta has to have vedana arising? There is no citta without vedana at all.
No. Is that commonly what you say?
So there must be vedana with each citta.
Correct.
Correct. Can we say that the way it seems is that pleasant or unpleasant feeling arises together with actual moment of seeing? Yes. But the way that it's explained in the text is different.
What was the text?
Well, the way it's explained in the text is that at the moment of actual seeing,
it's upekkha,
neutral upekkha, and the pleasant or unpleasant feeling
that I want to see
arises. But there's a lot that we talk about in the teachings that we don't able to verify ourselves personally right now.
Is it possible in Suchin or Sati to know directly that it's neutral feeling that arises with seeing consciousness, or will it always just be text knowledge?
Who can tell that now only seeing arises without somebody channa, santirana, utapana, and chavana? See? So fast.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, so fast.
But there can be the development of understanding reality as it is, like that which appears as visible object is a tattoo, and that which sees is different tattoo. Now at this moment, who knows the vedana feeling? Because there is seeing. Seeing sees. No one thinks about feeling. If feeling does not, it's not apparent. See? Only seeing sees now, with seven jetasikas.
The point is this. What I'm saying is, with us, eye consciousness, one of the three feelings arises. Not necessarily neutral. What they are saying is neutral first.
But why do we have to talk about one citta at a time to see the difference between each one? The seeing is not the next citta which just received the object after seeing has fallen away. Because citta arises and falls away all the time, very rapidly.
Yes.
And in order to know that there is no self at all, when there is the understanding of reality as it is, as no self, because it just sees, see, it just hears.
I know.
So
that
when we know the different citta, we know what kind of feeling arises with what kind of citta. We cannot choose, we cannot change.
No, we cannot change.
But we learn to know.
What I'm saying is one of the vedana will arise together.
Right, with citta.
What they are saying is neutral vedana all the time.
Not all the time, not all the time.
To begin with,
yes. Yeah, we're saying we're only neutral with visible object. At the moment, one moment visible object is neutral.
Seeing consciousness.
Always neutral. Seeing consciousness, always neutral.
Have you heard this comparison with the anvil and a cotton falling on the anvil and the other one with a hammer? Have you heard about this?
No.
They compare the experience to the seeing, hearing, smelling, taste with cotton falling on the anvil, that it does not produce feeling. Whereas to the body sense, it's like a hammer striking. You've not heard about this? So, Achak, is it relevant to point out that avachana is also conditioned by the same karma as seeing?
Avachana is kiriya citta.
Oh, yeah. It's kiriya, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, which chittas in the series are conditioned by the same karma?
Vipaka, or vipakas.
Which ones?
Stakuvinyana, sampatichana, santirana, and tathanamana.
So, but the santirana can be pleasant feeling?
According to the object.
Object.
Yeah.
It's a very pleasurable object. Can you accept that Sampatichanda is always neutral theory?
Yes.
Why not? Why should it not have pleasant and unpleasant feeling?
No, no, the 70 moments is okay.
I think one of the problems is that it appears that seeing is continuous and the feeling is arising at the same time.
Yes.
But that's just the way it appears. And we know in theory that seeing is just one moment out of many that are happening in the mind or in the sense door process. The actual moment of seeing is one of many. And then there's a lot of mind door processes too. So there's a lot less, seeing is not continuous. Because there's hearing at the same time too, and body sense, and all the other sense door processes going on, which all appear to be continuous. But, as we understand, in theory, are not. They're just one moment of vipaka in a process. So they must be a lot less frequent than appears to be the case.
And are you by any chance thinking in terms of Ittha Ramana and Anitha Ramana, that the object can be beautiful or not beautiful, and that you presume that the feeling must correspond to?
Yes.
That's not the case either.
Do you ever have eyesore? Pain?
Eyesore, yes.
It's body consciousness or seeing consciousness?
Body consciousness.
So at moment of seeing, it's not eyesore or pain at all.
No.
It's only indifferent feeling.
Indifferent feeling?
Yeah. And at moment when you experience bad smell, do you have no sore or pain or just smell?
Just smell.
So at that moment of smelling consciousness, it's indifferent feeling, no pain. Because it's not the body consciousness. Pardon?
The smell may be the pleasant one, like perfumes.
It doesn't matter. But the smelling consciousness must arise with indifferent feeling. Very fast, very short, by conditions, by karma.
Okay, let's see. The smell of durian, some like, some don't like.
Does it do it?
No, no, I mean, if you don't like, you get the Ramanatha feeling.
Yes, but the smell of durian, some like, some don't like. So what is it?
No, I mean, see, one of the feelings I'm seeing.
So what kind of feeling arises with smelling consciousness?
Who likes it if you have a pleasant feeling? Who doesn't like a pleasant feeling?
No, but let's
talk one of the feelings. Not you, sir. What I'm saying.
The liking or disliking must come after the experiencing, mustn't it? There must be a moment of experiencing before it can be liked or disliked. Just the mere contact, just the contact.
Yes. If you have no experience before for a particular object, then you have a neutral feeling.
If you don't mix the moment of experiencing with attachment, because they are different moments, we can see that at moment of seeing it is indifferent feeling, but like or dislike can have the pleasant or unpleasant feeling at that moment.
Yeah, I say one of the feelings, that's what I'm saying. But
one of the feeling.
To start with neutral feeling always.
But for seeing it has to be
neutral first.
I think I've heard you say, talking about the paramis, that we should scrutinize ourselves which paramis are not developed or underdeveloped. What exactly do you mean by this?
To see one's own agusa.
Just to understand one's own accumulations.
Whether you still like it.
For example, let's say someone understands, okay, maybe not much dana, not much metta, or not much upekha accumulated.
But then they have the idea when they hear this that this means, oh, therefore they should develop more of that instead of just understand the accumulations as they are.
With the idea of self is wrong.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if they have the idea, oh, okay, they've scrutinized and not enough metta or not enough dana, therefore they better develop more metta or dana, then always this
so
idea
it's spanya which will lead you to the right way all the time.
So it's just coming back to understanding accumulations and this morning we were talking a little bit about the paramis, and here from the book it says, it's beneficial carefully to study the 10 perfections so that we can consider and investigate for ourselves which perfections have not been sufficiently accumulated. We should develop them all in this way. They can be conditions for the realization of the Four Noble Truths. So as we were saying, we can consider and know the accumulations and the tendencies, and by understanding these and all other dharmas, this is the way.
But it's not the rule at all. Whatever one hears now can be conditioned for considering any time when it arises. So it doesn't mean that after reading this book we have to check and then try. No, not
so this
like
is
that.
What this is a problem. I think people read this and then they think, oh, I better check which paramis are developed or not, but because this is how it says. But I think that's because anything people will look at as a rule.
Yeah, it's like when we read sutta, it doesn't mean that after reading then you do this.
And then it goes on, if someone's goal is the arising of sati, that is aware of the characteristics of realities as they naturally appear in daily life, but if he does not take into consideration the development of the perfections, he will notice that time and again he is overcome by kusala karma. So again, it can sound like a rule instead of just being aware of any reality, oh, but take into consideration the perfection.
I think that the teaching is for understanding only, very deeply too. It does mean that after reading, then the self is trying to do like one read.
And this one, if someone does not know that forgiving is a perfection, he will not forgive someone else who has done him wrong. If we do not forgive others, how can we attain enlightenment and eradicate defilements?
All concerns with kusala, knowing what's kusala and what is not.
So just understanding. Yeah. And the gift of freedom from fear and forgiveness as necessary for enlightenment and Amisa Dana. Could you say any more about this?
Please read it again.
If someone does not know that forgiving is a perfection, he will not forgive someone else who has done him wrong. If we do not forgive others, how can we attain enlightenment and eradicate defilements? If we consider this, it may be a condition for the gift of freedom from fear. This is a way of generosity higher than the giving of material things, Amisa Dana. So I just hoped you would elaborate a little bit more on Amisa Dana as a way of dana that
what
is higher.
What is Amisa?
I don't know.
Okay. Sensuous objects, things,
okay.
Yeah, just
freedom
material,
from
yeah.
Sensuous objects. Oh, I see. The giving of material objects is Amisa Dana.
That's from the perfection, isn't it?
Yeah. This is from the perfection.
So people can read with wrong understanding.
And here it says, we should know the truth. We should know the difference between giving without punya and giving with punya, such as in the case of the bodhisattva who gave with punya. Here where it refers to the bodhisattva giving with punya, is this punya of samatha development punya or
no.
Punya, what kind of punya
no,
are we talking
about? Because
at
the moment of giving, no expectation at all.
But when it talks about here for the bodhisattva giving with punya, obviously it's not punya of
no
the degree of vipassana, but just punya of no expectation.
Mm-hmm.
So one wouldn't refer to it as either satipatthana or
no,
samatha.
Just not hoping for
not
yourself.
Hoping for them. Okay.
Gaining that such and such. Or for the sake of, by the sake of panya.
Mm. But usually when we talk about panya, we say panya as in bhavana, as either samatha development panya or satipatthana.
But what about the accumulation of panya? It does mean that now we don't have panya. And it does mean that when we understand this, then all we do must be panya. No, not like that.
Can one say that this kind of panya or this accumulated panya, such as no expectations, is a foundation or precursor for bhavana, for samatha or vipassana?
Because bhavana means developing.
Yes.
From moment to moment or from now on, but we don't know when it will arise.
Right. But if there isn't this kind of ordinary panya, then there won't be any. So here it's referring to all the roots being accumulated for the bodhisattva in order for the paramis with satipatthana to develop later.
Because even if one knows a lot about satipatthana, but without all this parami, not enough conditions for panya to grow beautifully.
I'm just thinking about the earlier comment about knowing how much of each of the different kinds of kusala one has developed.
Do we have to find out and try to think about it? Or whenever it arises, it shows that how much it's accumulated. We cannot think about it, but whenever it arises, one can see whether it's strong or weak.
How about classifying it as the different kinds of kusala?
Okay, when and how to classify.
Well, that's it.
It's not like that. It's like now, whisper object is appearing. There can be understanding of how much the root is to understand whisper object as just a reality, no one in it, just very ordinary reality. But one can know by oneself about one's accumulation of panya. Otherwise, it's impossible trying to think about what's there, how much one has accumulated,
yes.
Because it does not appear.
Yes.
But when it appears, it's there, only that moment, which can tell how much one has accumulated.
I think it comes back to the fact that it's the characteristic of kusala that would be known first, rather than resolution and even patience and that sort of thing.
I think that we read in order to understand that there is no self, but there are conditions for each moment to arise. No matter it's kusala or akusala, understanding is there.
So that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Can I ask about resolution then?
Adhidhana.
Adhidhana.
Yeah.
Are there any daily life examples of resolution?
Why do you come here?
For the good food.
No, we are from Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at which moment?
No, it's not that.
Right.
Okay. No. It's in each moment as Asia and that which is accumulated.
Right.
And when there are conditions, it can arise to see whether it's a kind of resolution of coming here.
You mean when there's some obstacle or difficulty or...
Anything, yeah. Otherwise it's the self who is trying to find out all the time as I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm missing something. Resolution is something that...
I think that, I don't know whether the term resolution is for Adhidhana. For me, I think that is the very firm... What do you call it? Resolution or
commitment.
What?
Resolution, determination.
For me, I think that it's the firm foundation, no change. Yeah. And each moment of kusala, it's there.
Each moment of kusala.
Yeah. condition more and more firmness,
okay,
a foundation for kusala to arise, for panya, for anything to arise.
But when you say each moment of kusala, you mean?
It's there, in citta, from moment to moment, never lost.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it will be greater and greater condition for higher and higher kusala to arise.
And the same with panya, it's there with each
panya
moment of
kusala. Panya is the understanding.
Yes. Now, yeah. Is it there with each moment of kusala?
It depends, because no expectation again.
Right.
Like an arahata can have kriya citta with or without panya. Why do we have to think of panya all the time? But it depends on whether it arises, mm-hmm, it knows or not. And it's not self, it's not me. Okay, that's the point.
Okay, but resolution arises with each kusala citta.
Aditana. Is it resolution? I don't know.
Resolution or determination. Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
A resolution.
But it seems like determination is like the self who's determined.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not. Okay. It's just the resolution of realities.
And it arises
of
each moment of kusala.
Not necessary.
Okay.
We cannot tell at all when kusala arises. Do you think that because of the resolution, or that is the resolution at that moment? No need, because it arises and falls away so fast. Okay. But we can understand that without roots or all parami, it's impossible for the development of panya.
So it's like sattā, you don't have to think of sattā, but whenever there's kusala, there's sattā.
You've often said before that with regard to taking refuge in the Buddha, it depends actually on how much satipatthana has been developed, how much understanding there is, because if we don't really understand much about what the Buddha taught, we can't really appreciate his qualities. And also, I think I heard a comment that the recollection of the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha can banish all fear. But these seem to be two different things. Would you say something about it?
At moment of satipatthana, can there be fear?
Not at that moment. So this is what it means. So here you're using the development of satipatthana and recollection of the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha interchangeably.
At moment of right understanding, can there be fear?
No.
Mm-hmm.
So when it says that the recollection of the Buddha, the Dhamma and Sangha can banish all fear, it really means just the development of satipatthana.
Or the understanding of the teachings. For example, is there anyone who is afraid of death? So common. It's like next moment. Exactly the same.
So understanding about Dhamma is
anytime, see?
But for those of us who are always thinking about the future, it's different. For those of us who are always fearful about the future, then death is not just another moment.
No matter how much one fears, it has to happen the way it is. You fear next moment?
I think we do.
Hmm?
No, don't fear next moment, because we think we know what's coming.
It's always next moment.
Yeah.
We don't even know next moment.
Well, we think we do.
Well, we think we do, but we really don't.
Now it's next moment of the previous moment.
Do we know this moment?
Fear, I mean. Yeah. Who fears?
Hmm. Well, we don't fear next moment, do we?
Mm-hmm.
We do.
It depends. If you fear death, then the fear next moment.
But that's not the way we perceive it. We perceive that the next moment is known and controlled. Whereas we perceive the death as being
exactly
unknown.
The same. Next moment is next moment.
Yeah.
And when we read about recollection of the Buddha, as when recollecting the Buddha, his mind is cleansed, joy arrives, defilements are abandoned.
So this is reflecting on the Buddha's qualities and his teachings, I think. And here in this quote, it says, he's else called a disciple of the noble ones, undertaking the Brahma Upasata. He lives with Brahma, which is referring to the Buddha. Why is it using Brahma?
The highest, the most virtuous one.
Most virtuous one. Is this the meaning Brahmana. Of Brahma?
Okay.
It is owing to Brahma that his mind is calm, that joy arising. So owing to the most virtuous one.
Does that mean the Buddha? Is Brahman being used?
Here, for the Buddha.
Mm-hmm. Here, for the Buddha, okay.
Or Arahat.
Different degrees.
Because here it is particularly talking about recollecting the Tathagata, so undertaking the Brahma Upasata. He lives with Brahma. So it just means he associates with the most virtuous.
The virtues of Buddha.
Virtues of Buddha.
Can we now live with the virtues of Buddha? Recollecting the virtues of Buddha. Now? He taught us in details about everything. The absolute truth.
Well, again, it will depend on the degree of understanding.
Right, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. On the level on Satipatthana, because we can only reflect according to our limited understanding.
And does it have to be thinking about the Buddha actually to be, just studying his teachings is like paying respect to him, revaluing what he taught? Do we have to really think?
Do we have to?
No, does it necessarily?
No, it depends on conditions.
No, what I mean to say is that when we think about the Buddha, we think about a person with certain qualities. And so when we just think about those qualities without associating with the Buddha, let's say we think about someone who has right view, or someone without tanha.
And that is not Buddha. Only someone who has right view. Whenever sati arises, it's time to understand the virtues of Buddha, his great compassion. Otherwise, no one can hear
it
about.
Has to be used.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Kim, do you pay homage or why Buddha? In a day?
No.
But whenever the Thai does it, it depends on understanding.
I mean,
and
when
the manners.
When I come here, when I pass, sometimes I remember to do it, sometimes I don't. Mm-hmm. And today I was in my son's school. I noticed some people pass and did why. First I didn't bother to turn because I thought it was Sanchao. Then I turned and I saw Buddha. Then I started thinking so much that just thinking a lot.
And where, what's there in Sanchao?
No, Sanchao was another place. This is.
And what is there in Sanchao? No.
Just a
statue or what?
Or what? Yeah, a small
building.
Building. Yeah. I didn't see anything. Inside.
No dolls, no statue inside.
I didn't notice.
See, different places, different thinking.
When it comes to something like wearing the Buddha image, would you say it's something that should be done? Or
I think that no one can control anything. It depends on whether at moment of thinking about his virtues, there can be moment of doing like this, humbly, or with very kusala citta. But it depends on someone who thinks that he must pay respect each morning quickly or something like that, see? So no rule for anything to arise. The teaching is to understand that all are dhammas, that's all.
So
suppose it's very similar to what we were talking about this morning about sila. Whether Han was wondering about, you know, sila without mm-hmm. right understanding, or sila because you think it's going to save you from whatever he was talking about, or whether you're doing it with right understanding.
Sometimes with or without, but I don't know whether he includes the sila which one should do too, because there are two kinds of sila, jarita sila and warita sila. Warita sila is don't, not in the sense of ordering or command, and jarita sila is do, mm-hmm. do and don't. But usually people think about don't.
Yes.
When you say varita, do you mean, is it the same as purity?
What?
Purity. Purity. Mm-hmm.
Can you say a bit more about charity?
Like helping the others.
The behavior. Yeah.
What one
behavior.
Should do to parents and friends and so forth.
I think you've explained it before as polite, considerate behavior to other people.
With kusalajita.
With kusalajita. Mm-hmm. So that's considered to be a kind of sila, mm-hmm. that kind of behavior.
Yeah. Usually what is done through speech and body.
Right.
So there's the doing, and there's the doing certain things.
And then the abstaining.
And then the abstaining.
From,
mm-hmm. the yeah.
And that can, there are also kusala sila, kusala sila and apiyagata sila too, for arahata.
Because an arahat doesn't have any purity, no abstaining, because nothing, no akusala to abstain.
This is where I get a bit confused. If there's generally polite behavior, that would be with metta, presumably.
It's not just polite. To be humble, show respect to one who deserves, like parents and anyone who's good to pay respect to, instead of having mana, conceit,
okay.
or harsh word, harsh manners.
Well, what about everyday politeness to just one's colleagues or people in...
It depends on truly, naturally,
yes.
kusala
right.
or akusala.
Okay. But if there is kusala, then how is it regarded in terms of dana, sila, bhavana, that kind of
sila?
Sila. Mm-hmm.
Through speech and body.
But the metta that arises and accompanies that, is that mm-hmm. also part of the sila, or could that be considered samatha?
Because attosa has to arise with each sopanacitta.
Right.
And when there's no metta, can one do that?
No.
Can it also be considered as a kind of dana?
We don't have to classify them at all.
No, we don't.
Because it arises fast and falls away. Otherwise, we have to think whether it's apaya dana or whether it is niramisa dana or what. See?
I was interested yesterday in what you were saying about punya having the aspect of, I think you said, going against the akusala. Is that right?
Polishing, or
polishing
away, or
washing away.
Clean
right.
akusala.
So one is accumulating the opposite tendency to the akusala.
Mm-hmm.
It just helps one understand.
Opposite nature, akusala and akusala.
Yeah. And I think in the suttas, when it talks about abandoning akusala, then one of the ways of abandoning is actually the development of the opposite quality.
It's what can abandon?
What can abandon? No, not I.
So?
Kusala.
Panya.
Panya. Mm.
Because even when give, one might want something in return, No, yes. Abandoning.
When you refer to punya as the washing away, does it mean it has to be with punya?
Any kusala.
Any kusala. No.
It conditions moment to moment. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just accumulates. Mm-hmm.
I keep coming back because I suppose I don't understand it, that knowing the kusala moments from the akusala, because this is something that seems to me very difficult and not
yes,
clear.
Yes, because if there is the idea of self, it's impossible to judge or to think or to know, but the reality itself in the beginning, it doesn't give time for you to think about, to distinguish them, but to develop the understanding of that characteristic which can never be taken for I or self at all. This is the first step before you can tell whether it's kusala or akusala. For example, even its attachment, the characteristic of attachment itself is not self. This is the beginning. Everything is not self before you can tell at that very moment whether it's kusala or akusala. Because one is not used to understand the characteristic of reality as not self. When there is the idea of self, it's rather very difficult to tell the difference.
I see.
That's why right understanding has to develop, and it will gradually wash away attachment and clinging to the idea of self.
We can have some intellectual idea about not self. We can have some understanding about impermanence. But dukkha seems not so easy compared to the other two.
Right. Very subtle, very deep. So one knows that just intellectual understanding not enough to eradicate akusala at all. And it takes time to develop right understanding along with detachment. Otherwise, that is not the path.
So, it is said that some people experience enlightenment by knowing anicca and some anatta and some dukkha.
When?
At the moment of enlightenment.
Before that?
Just before that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought, till now, I thought that that might have been due to past accumulated reflection. Now, since dukkha is so hard to see.
But you see that now, theoretically, one understands that everything cannot stay. As soon as it has arisen, it falls away instantly. If this is true, there must be the realization of the truth of reality as it is. So how to gain or to have such understanding? Because whenever there is seeing, there is no awareness, no beginning to become used to that characteristic which just appeared to seeing right now as it is. Because there is always idea of something instantly follow. So one can see that no awareness of a characteristic which is different from taking it for something. Until then, when awareness arises, one knows that this is only the way to get used to the characteristic of reality that one has heard a lot, not just in this life, maybe many lives before. Until no doubt about moment of awareness and moment without awareness, and how panya develops. Not by oneself, but by patience, knowing that only a moment of being aware is so worthy. Much more than the whatever one thinks it's worth in one's life. Because we live without awareness of a reality, of the characteristic of no self. But when it's there, one knows that that is the path, that is the way. But so many, many realities, not in a day, just in that very moment which follows. After that it's clinging, after that it's thinking. So how long it will take to really understand reality, each one as it is? One might not know that what hinders the realization of the arising and falling away is ignorance and clinging to whispered object right now. No time to think that there is already clinging after seeing, see? So how much the blindness is there? All six Taoists.
Can we really know how much blindness is there? That seems
now,
to be
yes,
a contradiction
now,
in
now,
terms.
Now,
well,
as long as there's hearing about whispered object and whispered object is appearing, it depends on one's own understanding. Whether there is awareness or no awareness, or even there is awareness, how, what degree of awareness it is, it's aware, but not enough understanding. It's aware, and it begins to understand. It's aware, and there's no attachment to it. See? It's a long way to go. Otherwise, no way to experience the arising and falling of different realities which follow one another instantly, so fast. And then we'll begin to understand what is in Tipitaka, like Sankhara Nimitta. And there will be the understanding that no need to do anything, only developing right understanding of that which appears, not as itself which arises and falls away, but as something's there, permanently. It's like great wall to experience reality.
Great wall?
Hinder ones from seeing.
I see.
But it's nama, the wall is nama, so one cannot see. But actually it's like great wall of ignorance. It has to be naturally with detachment. Whenever attachment comes, it's not the right path again. So we understand what panya is when it understands. Better and better, deeper and deeper. And this is Dhamma, no one. No one can do anything.
I have a question about paticca-samuppada and feelings. Before, when I referred to the feeling in paticca-samuppada, you suggested that all feelings are included. But here, for example, in the quote, it says that feeling, resultant feeling, viparka, is meant. How does it become a condition for craving at the six doors by reason of its fitness to be enjoyed? So in the text, it seems to be specifically referring to viparka.
It depends on understanding, because if it's only vipaka, what about the pleasant feeling which is not vipaka?
Well, of course, there's pleasant feeling that isn't vipaka, but here in this context it seems to be just a vipaka.
See? It's so limited, if you think that way.
Yes.
And what about the other feelings?
Not relevant.
No answer.
So, in that case, why do the commentaries and the text, particularly this is a commentary to the expression, with the arising of feeling there is the arising of craving. Here the commentary says feeling, vipaka, is meant. Why does it say that? I don't have the
and me mahasipathana bhaka paticca sampatha.
Which oh, actually, I think this particular one here is the commentary to the Samaditti Sutta. But I've seen it also in, for example, the commentary to the Visuddhimagga or in the Visuddhimagga in other contexts that it was particularly refers to the Vipassana.
But the Patticcasamuppada are divided into three parts, the past condition, the present, and the present condition, the future. So, Vedana condition, Tanha, past or present?
The Vedana is present.
And Tanha?
And the Tanha is present also. Mm-hmm.
So, why just we talk about Vipaka?
Well, I agree. Why just talk about Vipaka? Why not talk about attachment to any feelings? Because there's attachment to all kinds of feelings now, not just Vipaka. But then my question is just why do the commentaries always say it's referring to Vipaka?
When there's no karma, can there be Vipaka?
No.
But when Vipaka arises with Vedana,
yes,
it can condition Tanha. Talking about that which is conditioned by past karma.
Are you saying that even in this context it, all Vedana is referred to?
Otherwise, how can you explain about the present Vedana, that there is no craving for the present one?
So we have to include all. Mm-hmm. And the same with Pasa, because again they say it just refers to Vipaka, but you're saying actually must...
And when we read about the Pajya, not only Vipaka.
No.
So this has to conform with Pajya too, because to be conditioned by what Pajya?
We're talking earlier about detachment and developing kusala with detachment. What is the significance of with detachment? And
without understanding, can there be detachment? And whenever there is panya, can it attached?
No.
And for the question of Kunsara about Patticcasamuppada, why not now?
When the Buddha urged the development of kusala, like sila, for example, I think he also was referring to with detachment, not just sila, but...
You are talking about sila or sila visuddhi or what sila? Not sila for all, but it depends on what aspect or what level we are talking about. Abstain from killing or the sila visuddhi?
I wasn't talking about sila visuddhi in particular.
But if you talk about panya, there must be panya. It will lead to more panya. But if it's only sila at any time of anyone, it doesn't mean that there is panya or it will lead to more panya. We have to think very, very carefully because Dhamma is so very, very subtle.
But we understand that just sila per se doesn't lead towards escape from samsara. So it has to be with some element of development
at
of
moment
understanding
of,
that.
At moment of awareness is also sila.
Yes.
See? And that kind of sila only will lead to understanding. At moment of sila there must be awareness sati, that is not satipatthana.
So if someone says, I'm interested in developing kusala but not in developing understanding, can we say that that is not the Buddha's teaching on development of kusala?
It's not sila visuddhi, it's not ajiva, it's not the sangvara visuddhi.
Right.
Sangvara sila.
So here, back to Patticcasamuppada, someone may wonder why feeling is limited to result of vipaka in Patticcasamuppada. This is because each link is either karma or karma result. And under contact, it's contact pasa arising with vipaka cittas. And I've got some references here to the Visuddhimagga in chapter 17. It's always pasa with vipaka cittas, same as said in the commentary to the Samaditi Sutta that I just gave.
If we apply Dhamma to this moment, then we can understand better. For example, seeing is vipaka, and Vedana arising with it is also vipaka. And whenever there is Vedana, there is attachment for sure to Vedana.
Yes, not just at the moment of seeing, but
any moment of Vedana, and the same with Pasa. So here it's just indicating that without the Vipaka there wouldn't be the other kinds of Vedana. So it's like when one talks about the three rounds of
Vedana after Vipaka.
Kama Vata, Vipaka Vata, Kalesa Vata. So without Vipaka there wouldn't be Kalesa. So in the context it is referring to Vipaka, but all other Vedanas are implied.
Otherwise it's useless just talk about Vipaka. Because all kinds of Vedana condition Tanha, not just Vipaka Vedana.
Where's the passage from?
Well, I had a bit of discussion with Nina about it before, because I mentioned that Kunti Chinnat said all Vedana are included, and she mentioned in the text, no, it's just Vipaka that is
mentioned. When we say that the text, just this text, what about the other texts in other books?
We have to consider the
in other Nikaya, see, a lot to learn. Only this is not enough, just one passage is not enough.
It's a little bit like when we talk about Sankara conditioning Vijnana. Well, of course it doesn't just refer to Patisandhi Chitta, but has to refer to
Vipaka.
All Vipaka Chittas. And when we talk about Vijnana conditioning Nama Rupa, it's not just referring to Chetasikas and Rupas at moment of birth, but throughout life conditioned by Chitta.
Because the past condition, the present, and the present condition, the future.
Yes. But again, in the text, it can be read as sounding like just at
and,
birth.
And then we have to know by what Pajya. Yes. And when we come to the Pajya, it includes everything, not just that. We have to know by what Pajya.
Yeah.
And when we come to Pajya, the Pajyubanta, not Dhamma, must not only that.
It's like the example, but it's like this, etc.
So when one reads or study Dhamma, it doesn't mean that one has to understand just that.
Literally, take it literally.
That is never enough.
No. So if we say that when we consider the conditions, we have to consider which Dhamma conditions another, and this is why in the Visuddhi Marga goes through all kinds of conditions, and in Dio, in Paticca Samuppada, the feeling which is Vipaka conditions craving by way of decisive support, etc. But even then we shouldn't just say that the feeling that is Vipaka.
Because it's the three parts, the past condition, the present. So the present Vipaka is there. And then it can condition the next or the future. There is not just the
future,
past or the future.
Right, not just Vipaka, because I Paktupanisya, it will condition or accumulate more feelings which are kusala and akusala as well.
The craving of the Vipaka, this life, will be conditioned for next life too.
So we shouldn't say at all then that it is Vipaka feeling.
Otherwise it's only that 12,
right,
no
limited.
More.
Here it refers to Aramanupanisya.
What? Avijja condition sankhara?
No, this is feeling. Vedana pachya tanha. And it says...
refers to?
It says any karma resultant feeling, agreeable or disagreeable or neutral, bodily or mental, past or expected, may become for craving a condition of decisive support by way of object, Aramanupanisya.
And what is Aramanupanisya?
It translates that as decisive support by way of object. So
particularly desirable object, for example.
That one has accumulated differently. The durian can be Aramana.
Yes, you've mentioned this before. Or coconut ice cream.
Right, yeah. Or it could be for panya, like if one reflects on a Dharma object. We can talk about it as anything.
It indicates panya, which can understand reality in daily life by way of different pachya. If it's only attachment to vedana, which is vipaka,
yes.
So nice. You don't have attachment to other vedana, which is not vipaka.
Right.
And also we have to think of the topic, which is paticca samuppada, within the round of samsara, so it can't be so limited.
Not only in this life, in past life, there's also future life too.
So if we read, for example, about the rupas which are produced at the moment of birth as being the rupas conditioned by vijnana, it doesn't mean, it's just referring to those. These are just like an example.
You mean that patisanticitta condition, nama and rupa?
Yes.
Nama are cetasikas.
Yes.
And rupa are kamacharupa, patisanti kamacharupa.
Yes, yes.
Only that at moment of birth.
Yes, this is what is mentioned in the text, but of course it can't be just limited to that.
This is the first moment. Mm-hmm. Which will be continued
on and on and on.
Yeah, endlessly. And when we think back to the past life, what about attachment to any kind of feeling, see? To condition the feeling which is vipaka for attachment in this life.
To condition attachment to vipaka.
We can think back to previous life, past life, which will condition feeling which is vipaka for tanha to be attached to. Not just only vipaka.
Just getting back to sila for a moment, one of the topics that often comes up is people who feel that they have bad sila, doing a lot of unwholesome deeds, even in their daily life, maybe through speech and so forth, and they're very concerned about improving their sila, even to the exclusion of developing understanding. And they say, well, that's too difficult. And not that they necessarily think it must be sila first, but they feel that the development of understanding is somewhat beyond them.
Do they understand what is meant by development?
Well, I don't know.
It's just development without understanding.
You mean development of sila?
Development of kusala.
Of kusala, yeah.
Can anyone do, or by conditions?
There would have to be.
Now we are accumulated conditions for kusala. No matter we regret or not regret, but now we are accumulating conditions for having kusala. But the person who does not understand reality, how can they develop? They just want to have, but how?
I'm thinking about panya.
Well, people have good sila without having panya, though. I know, but it's possible, isn't it, to have good sila, but no panya?
Yeah. By nature, by accumulation. Nature. Okay, akusla arise and kusla arise. Akusla regrets and kusla does not regret. They are all accumulated. Don't mix them as I regret for this and I try to do that. They are all dharmas. Okay.
Otherwise, it's like you just want to accumulate kusla without understanding. Right,
that seems to be.
To have kusala.
Yeah.
Don't mind about panya at all.
Right.
So they have kusala without panya. If they know what kusala is.
Yeah.
Well, I think there are many, many people in the world who don't.
Mm-hmm.
Many.
And yet there are also many people in the world who you know, observe sila in their daily life without knowing it by conditions.
Yes.
So there, that is just conditioned to accumulate more conditions for kusala.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Because that's about it.
Yeah.
But we're talking about someone who's interested in the Dhamma, but mm-hmm. in their study of the Dhamma, they see the most important thing as having less akusala of the coarse type
mm-hmm.
rather than develop understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that rather common, though? I mean, generally, even those who study Dhamma don't necessarily understand the Dhamma, don't really understand the realities of Dhamma.
A lot of people are thinking like that, that, you know, there's by doing this, you know, you have a good sila, and you know, you don't do this and that, and that's good sila. So it's like without realizing it, that me doing it.
Yeah, they never have learning a proper understanding, starting out with a proper pariyatti understanding
yeah.
what anatta really means.
I think that they read, they listen, but they don't understand Dhamma at
right,
all.
Right.
It's still I all the time.
Right.
I want sila.
They're looking at the gross akusala, but they don't see all the other akusala that they're doing daily.
For instance, my friend who believes in that Indian guru maya, she really believes that this guru maya can erase karmic results. I said, this is impossible.
But if we ask her what moment is vipaka, can she tell?
And she tells.
She can tell what is vipaka moment.
She cannot, but she thinks her
but she does know what vipaka is, what moment is vipaka. So it's not the understanding. She just learned what karma is meant, just literally.
If we could just be nice people and not have all these things, then there would be a self that can do it.
So now we understand what a solution is when we don't move away from understanding reality.
Yeah.
And that's not something we can choose, right, Arjuna? It's just,
conditions.
Conditions.
Yeah.
Right. Back to Paticca Samuppada and this question about vipaka. So we read about the three realms of kama vata, vipaka vata, kilesa vata, and it says that sankhara and bhava are the realm of karma, sankhara and karma bhava. Ignorance, craving, clinging are the realms of defilements, kilesa vata. And consciousness, mentality, materiality, sixfold base, contact and feeling are the realm of result, vijnana, nama, rupa, ayatanas, pasa, vedana are here, vipaka vata. Well, if all feelings, all patsa are included, why are they mentioned as vipaka vata? Why do we have this threefold division here?
What's the first?
The first is the formations and becoming of the round of karma.
Yes, but avicca conditions sankhara. So avicca is
past.
What section?
Avicca here is under kilesa vata.
See?
Yes.
No matter when it arises, it has to be kilesa.
Yes.
Without it, can there be kamma?
No.
And without kamma, can there be vipaka?
No.
So we can follow avicca
yes.
and other dhamma too,
yes.
not only avicca. There must be sankhara and jetana as well.
So doesn't it seem a little bit artificial then to say, for example,
avicca and sankhara must always be kilesa.
But here, pasa and vedana, when it says there, the round of result.
When it arises with result and when it arises with kilesa.
I see. Mm-hmm. But when it arises with kilesa, it's not mentioned,
mm-hmm.
but understood.
Otherwise, how can there be just kilesa without pasa?
Yeah, it must be.
Everything is there,
okay.
covered up.
And when we read about the 12 factors of Paticca Samuppada as being divided into past, present, future lives, this isn't any strict
division, or it's just for indicating how the round goes on and on?
Because the present cause will condition the future result. And the present cause here will be the past.
So it's just for showing the nature of samsara.
When we talk about developing understanding, and we understand that it's understanding of dhammas which is being referred to, and that first of all there's understanding of nama or rupa, the distinction between them. I'm not talking about the actual vipassana jnanas, but just in general terms, and the characteristics come later.
No. Awareness is aware of a reality which must have its proper characteristic. Like visible object.
Has a characteristic that is different from seeing consciousness, for example.
Otherwise, how can we say that there is any understanding of this moment? Because at moment of seeing, there must be seeing and visible object.
And the tilakana of anicca, dukkha, anatta may not be apparent.
Great wall.
Great wall, okay. Paticca-samuppada is another aspect of, am I correct, of the understanding of dhammas. It's not a separate subject, is it? As understanding of dhammas is developed.
Because what we call paticca-samuppada must be citta, cetasika, and rupa. No matter by way of tattu, by way of paticca-samuppada, by way of ariyasaccha.
In fact, you used to say that paticca-samuppada is very high. The understanding of dhamma, only people who got accumulation will understand that it's just not about that. Long time ago when we went to America, that's what it's from.
But when there is no understanding of dhamma in rupa, how can we understand that it's just not about that? There must be the understanding of dhamma in rupa. That's why even the Abhajja is the last book of Abhidhamma. After understanding all dhammas, then one know what condition is what.
Okay.
And what about the
Sankhya
Sutta? Is that classified in three sections, past, present, and future? Which part is present, which part is past, in the past, or which part is in present, and which part is in the future?
Mm-hmm. You know that. You just mentioned this.
Past ignorance and past karma conditioned vipaka from the moment of birth in this life, and the accompanying cetasikas and rupas conditioned by that consciousness, and on account of these dhammas, there is attachment, clinging, and more karma conditioned, which will bring about future dukkha. Results and future dukkha and future old age, sickness and death, and future becoming, future results. So there are the three rounds all the time of vipaka, kilesa, and karma. So on account of the vipaka in this life, there is kilesa and karma, which will condition vipaka in the future. But I think what Konsuchin was saying earlier is we have to think of the whole meaning. We can't just say that the feelings and the contact is vipaka just because it says so in the text. So we can't just put it in this category and say, oh, okay, in paticca-samuppada they are vipaka, because of course there are feelings and passa with the moments of karma and the other moments of kilesa, so they arise all the time. The past avicca, the kalesa, was the condition for past karma, sankhara, which conditioned vijnana, nama rupa in this life. And the bhava is referring to present karma, which will produce vipaka in future. One reads or hears something else and one has to consider it in the light of the other teachings and one's understanding of Abhidharma, I think, and how it applies to this moment. So at this moment, there is accumulated ignorance, accumulated avijja and tanha, and this will condition karma, which will bring results in future.
So, Patijasamupaka can be the way to consider the moment of.
I think it can be the way to consider even at this moment, how at this moment there are the results from the past deeds and there are the kalesa accumulated, which condition more karmic karma, which will again bring results. So in effect, there are the three lifetimes, or the past, the present and the future, all affecting this moment. And so we can see how the process of vipaka, kalesa, karma continues on and on and on without enough understanding to eradicate the deep kalesa. So I try to see the relevance to this moment, help one to see the danger of just accumulating more and more ignorance, more and more kalesa now.
I have a question about this general area. If understanding of dhammas is developed so that the characteristic of not-self is seen and anicca, dukkha, anatta, why is it necessary in addition for there to be understanding about paticca-samuppada? Wouldn't it be enough that the characteristics of individual dhammas be understood?
And the teaching concerns the truth of realities. So, no matter by way of paticca-samuppada or by what way.
So there are different ways of understanding the truth.
For example, we think that we were born, but actually, what conditioned patisanticitta? Past karma. So we understand avijja conditioned sankhara, but it has to be the past which can condition the present life. And citta cannot arise alone. There must be cetasika and rupa. So we learn to understand what's there in this life from birth up to now.
How would a direct understanding of the conditioning factor for patisanticitta, though, arise out of a developed awareness of present namas and rupas?
It's gone completely. Can it be object of right understanding with direct awareness?
No.
No. But since there is this moment, one knows that it comes from, or it continues from, the first moment of this life.
Patisanticitta itself is never directly object of panya.
Just one moment.
Somehow these conditioning relationships come to be known by developing panya.
From moment to moment. Without patisanticitta, how come this moment?
Well, that's just.
And how come patisanticitta? And can there be fusion patisanticitta when there are conditions for its arising?
We can understand it in that way, but that's not.
But in order to direct understanding is understand our reality right now only. That is direct understanding.
But I'm a little bit puzzled how, if paticca-samuppada is to be known by developed understanding.
At this moment, if there is the understanding of seeing, can there be no understanding of it's conditioned to see?
Yes, I think there can.
So it is vipaka.
But what about
when you understand vipaka, then you begin to understand little by little about other realities, but you will never understand directly the patisanticitta because right. It's gone completely.
But isn't that
what can be object of understanding is reality right now. So now there is avijja, so there must be sankhara, and there must be vijnana.
Can we understand the moment, each moment by way of tattu.
It's tattu. So it depends on how you understand reality as tattu by listening and considering whether it can be controlled, whether you can have it at will, whether you can change it. If not, then it's own tattu. Each one has its proper quality.
It was you say that it can understand, can be understood by way of bodhisattva,
okay. It's now visible object is appearing. What is that visible object?
It's
visible object. Is it real? Is visible object real?
It's
visible object. Is real? Can you hear it or can you see it? That is the tattoo, one tattoo, which has its proper characteristic.
So, start with visible object?
Anything. But sense no moment of awareness of it. So should we talk about it very often?
Yes.
So it can condition moment of awareness of it. This is the way to understand how much avijja one has accumulated.
I was just going to say, it either helps us understand visible object or helps us understand how much avijja there is.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we have intention to consider what we have learned, we can't.
Sati arises with all wholesome cittas, so if it's wholesome, if it's any
yes.
kind of wise
yes.
reflection, there must be sati there, but it's not. Sati of Satipatthana, which with the understanding that directly understands the object. It must be the
seat. It has to happen once every visit.
But is it Pratityasamuppada?
Sorry?
Is this Pratityasamuppada? See? We keep on talking about the story of Pratityasamuppada, but it's always happening
right now. But for it to be happening right now, there'd have to be a lot of thinking about which link is it and all that sort of thing.
Is that tanha?
Yeah. Definitely.
Link? One link?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about that.
And upatthan.
So, we were talking a minute ago about visible object, just that which appears to seeing consciousness. Is that paticca-samuppada?
Why not?
It probably is, but...
No attachment?
Well, visible object is not attachment.
Seeing is not akusala. Seeing
right.
is vipaka.
Yeah.
But when seeing has fallen away, the next citta, the next.
Right.
Okay. Are also conditioned by its own conditions. If one understands that each moment is conditioned,
yes.
one will stop doing anything with the idea of controlling
okay.
or wishing. You already got what you wished for?
Yes.
Seeing, hearing, smelling?
Yeah.
No more? Or again? Or not enough?
Maybe it wasn't quite the one we wished for.
No need to wish for anything. There are always conditions for its arising from moment to moment.
But there's going to be the attachment and wishing regardless
right.
because
mm-hmm.
it's just conditions that accumulated so strongly.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard, though, even intellectually, to think of visible object as a dhatu.
It's dhatu by itself, like fire, hardness. it has its own characteristic.
Just
so
that
it
way
has to be that too.
But we don't experience it as that. We experience it as visual thought.
It is, but it cannot be known by ignorance as tattoo. It's known by something. Like,
well, things would be known by touch,
touching.
And visual object would be known
by seeing.
So, yes, it's hard to think.
Tattoo, all are tattoos. Seeing is tattoo, it cannot hear.
Oh, it's the seeing that's the tattoo, not the visual object.
Yes, visual so object is also tattoo.
Any reality is tattoo.
So it can only be known by understanding.
Right, understanding.
Element.
Yes.
Do you see Queen Sarah or do you see tattoo? Until all are tattoos. Until all are tattoos.
Yes.
But it's not that the individual objects are tattoos, is it? I mean, it's the visible object that is the tattoo. So
yes.
The first step is, well, this is where I'm a bit confused, because the person who has developed understanding and doesn't take visible object for self, they still see the world in terms of people and
like
things.
Buddha.
Like Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the way the world is,
yeah.
Arising and falling in succession, and samya recognize.
So they see people and things, but without any misconception.
Or with misunderstanding, depending on the individual.
So it's not a case of denying the people and things that are seen in a visible object.
With fully understanding.
More understanding of the visible
perfect
object.
Perfect understanding.
Just visible object.
Right.
Is the visible object everything I can see at this moment, including, you know, or is it?
When there's no thinking about it, it's visible object.
The thinking puts it together into the story and, you know, the landscape that I can just that I describe in words, but
exactly that which is seen as soon as there's an idea of picking out this or this.
Yes,
it's
no longer. Yeah.
At that moment, it's not seeing a whispered object either.
No. What is it?
Thinking.
Yes.
And that doesn't change from what I gather, that the thinking is always going to be there, even for the enlightened person. The thinking is there immediately.
This is the way how right understanding can understand each reality as it is.
Can we say that nothing changes when understanding becomes more developed, but things are seen more for what they are?
No one can change reality at all. But right understanding can understand reality as it is until there is no idea of self left.